Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. And if you've ever asked yourself the question of, am I a real Christian? Or put a different way, am I really a Christian? There have been moments of doubt or a lack of assurance that have come your way. Well, those sorts of questions were bubbling around for the church in Colossae. It's not particularly clear what the false teaching was for that church. We know that in lots of Paul's letters to churches, he's addressing a particular false teaching. For the church in Colossae, it's not quite clear, but it seems that something's going on. There's talk about, in chapter 2, of them potentially being deceived by fine-sounding arguments, or of being taken captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, or of being judged or found wanting, or of being disqualified. People who are sort of looking at them and saying, yeah, you're not really the real deal. Well, those thoughts can come from outside us. That's what was happening for the church there in Colossae. They're thoughts as well, aren't they, that can sort of rise up within us. Question of assurance. And it's an important question, because personally, that's really key, isn't it? Am I really saved? Am I right with the Lord? Am I forgiven? Will I get to heaven? And it's a question which is important corporately as well. Is this the right church to be at? Have other churches got it right? Should I move there? Can I stay here? Is this the real deal? So we're going to bear that in mind. That's the sort of context as we come to this letter. And then my hope is, as we work through this, and we're going to work through it in a slightly different way, that what Paul writes will come to life for us. Some of you might have seen John Piper do this on his website, Desiring God, where he takes a portion of scripture like this, and then you can see him annotating, drawing on it, pulling things out. Well, I'm going to try and do the same. It won't quite be as slick as John Piper, but hopefully there'll be a helpfulness. If you've got a screen and you're watching this on a screen, hopefully there'll be a helpfulness as we go along. I'm going to start by thinking of the who. Who's mentioned in this letter? And the letters in the New Testament, sort of written the other way around to the way that we write letters. So when we write a letter, we will often put our names at the end. But what Paul always does, and what was the convention of the day then, is that he puts his name right at the beginning, which is actually helpful, isn't it? I don't know if you do that sometimes in a text message. If you're writing someone for the first time, you might say, hi, so-and-so, it's Nigel. So they know immediately who this random message is coming from. Well, there's a similar sense here. This is written to us by Paul. Is this going to work? Let's see. Come on. There we go. It's written to us by Paul. And he mentions as well, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. The letter comes from Paul and Timothy. Who's it to? It's to God's holy people in Colossae, a city, a relatively small city in those days, a city in modern day Turkey. But the interesting thing is that Paul hadn't been there. Most of his letters are written to churches that he's, well, not just visited, but he's planted. But he'd not been to Colossae. And in fact, it's later on, look at verse 7 down the end. They heard the gospel from someone called Epaphras. Epaphras, it seems, came to be a Christian probably in Ephesus. But it seems that he was a native of Colossae, took the gospel back to his home city, shared it with others, and a church was started. The church that Paul is writing to. But remember that the context is assurance. How is Paul immediately bringing a sense of assurance to these people? Well, he does that by emphasizing who he is. He's an apostle of Christ Jesus. There's an authenticity to who Paul is. He's the real deal. Apostle means sent one, one with a message, one with authority. And Jesus appointed, didn't he, 12 apostles. Judas betrayed him. He was replaced by Matthias at the beginning of the book of Acts. But then Paul, when he was confronted by the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was commissioned as an apostle, and he often uses this title of himself. He's the real deal. And that's who's writing to them. They can have assurance in that sense. But notice what he says of the church in Colossae, the people he's trying to assure. He describes them as God's holy people. That's what Christians are. That's who you are if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus today. You're one of God's holy people, made holy by the Lord Jesus. God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Now that would have been music to their ears, wouldn't it? If there were sort of questions in terms of, are they really Christians? Are they the real deal? And Paul starts off by saying, I consider you as faithful. And then look at verse 7 down the end, Epaphras, who we're introduced to, this one who brought the gospel to them. How is he described? Well, he's a dear fellow servant of Paul's. But notice what Paul says next. He's a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. The message that Epaphras received from Paul, he is faithfully passed on to the people in Colossae. Paul brings in assurance in that way. Well, he starts in that way, who he is, who he's writing to, verse 2, with a typical greeting, grace and peace to you from God our Father, he says. But then he moves into thankfulness. We always thank God, verse 3, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Why does he thank God for this church? Well, he thanks God because they're the real deal. And he picks out three distinctives of what makes this church authentic Christians, if you like. Distinctive. Look at what he says. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's gone wrong. Let's take that off. There we go. In Christ Jesus. That's where their faith is. Faith's going to get mentioned again. We'll highlight it here. He's heard of their faith in Christ Jesus. And that word in is really important. Their faith is in Christ Jesus. That's who they're trusting in. And when we think of what their faith is in, what it is they're believing, what the trust is focused on, it's in Christ Jesus, it's in the work of Christ Jesus. We think quickly to the cross of Christ Jesus, to his death on their behalf. Their faith is in that. Their faith is in the resurrection of Christ Jesus, that not only did he die for them and do that to bring forgiveness to them, but he rose again. They're believing of his ability to bring life through death. And Paul has heard of their faith in Christ Jesus. Epaphras, it seems, has brought that message back. As Epaphras has spent time with them, he's seen, as he's spent time with them, that they are trusting in the Lord Jesus. They are believing in him. Perhaps he shared communion with them and had that joy of sharing in that mutual faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, his death and his resurrection. Paul says, I rejoice, I thank God for you. I know you're the real deal. I know you're authentic as Christians because I know of your faith in Christ Jesus. But he goes on, I also know of your love, the love you have for all God's people. He's heard of their faith. He's also heard of their love. We heard this morning, didn't we, in the kids' talk of God's love. God is always loving. But there's a distinctive mark of the Christian, that the believer, is that they have a love for others. And love, as the Bible describes it, is sacrificial love. It's self-giving love. It's not just loving those who are nice to you and loving them back. It's, well, look how Paul puts it here. You have a love for all God's people. All. Not leaving any out. There's no place for racism in the church. We've been struck by the horrors of racism, haven't we, over the last couple of weeks. There's no place for that in the church, because as Christians, God gives us a love for others, a love for all God's people. There should be no one left out in the church. A love for all God's people. Even those who upset you. Even those who are different to you. Even those who disagree with you. A love, a self-giving, sacrificial love. But Paul's not finished. Not only has he seen their faith and the distinctive of their love for all God's people, he goes on, the faith and the love. But it's interesting what he says next. The faith and the love that spring from the hope. We might think it would be the other way around, that the faith perhaps would be in the driving seat, and from the faith comes the hope. But Paul says no, that the hope is central. Faith and love that spring from the hope stored up in heaven for you. The distinctive of the believer is that they're not living for today. It's not all about the here and now. Heaven is before them. Eternity lies ahead of them. And even though as Christians there's much that we enjoy today, there's much that we gain for forgiveness from the Lord, his Holy Spirit living in us, joining in with belonging with a family, having brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, experiencing something of the joy and the cleansing. Actually, most things for the believer are still ahead. These things that we have now are just tasters. But ahead, we'll be free from sinning. We won't sin anymore. We'll be free from suffering. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. We will see the Lord Jesus and be with him forever. We will have a new body that will last for eternity. Most of the things we gain as Christians are ahead of us. Christians are marked by their hope. So Paul could bring this assurance to the church in Colossae. He could say to them, look, I've heard about you. I thank God for you because I've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love you have for all God's people, and the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. Where are these things coming from? Well, look at what he says. The hope that's stored up for you in heaven and about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel. Remember, he's bringing assurance. So he uses the word true. What you've heard is true. The message of the gospel, what you know of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's been passed on to you, it's true. And from that true message came your hope of eternity. And springing from that hope of eternity came your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people. The gospel that's come to you. And it's the same gospel, or if you like, in the same way that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. You're not weirdos in Colossae. You've not gone off stream somewhere else. No, you're joined to brothers and sisters all over the place. that have heard the same message, that are responding in the same ways, that are bearing fruit. I spent time on Friday afternoon talking to Edward in Moldova, hearing just an update of how things are for them there. Actually, we must pray for them. The virus is still got a grip. The hospitals are full. So let's remember our brothers and sisters in Moldova. But they are brothers and sisters because they've responded to the same true gospel message. And the same signs that we can read of in Colossae are there in Moldova. Faith in Christ Jesus, love for all God's people, hope stored up for you in heaven. The same message that's bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. Just as it has been among you since the day you heard it and understood it. Or look at what he says, actually. You heard it and truly understood God's grace. That's a good summary, isn't it, of what it is to be a Christian. If you're a Christian, what have you done? Well, you've truly understood God's grace. That's a great summary. To be a Christian is not to earn something. It's not to win something, not to buy something. It's to receive something that you don't deserve, given to you by the grace of God. You learned it from Epaphras, says Paul, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Notice it's there, that other marker that we read of earlier. Paul says it there at the end of this passage. Their love in the Spirit has been seen and felt by Epaphras, and Paul has heard about it. So where does that leave us? Let's just think of a couple of things to apply that to ourselves. Question of assurance, am I saved? Am I really a Christian? Am I a real Christian? Well, Paul points to these three distinctives. Our assurance comes from the presence of faith in Christ Jesus. Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus today? If you are, you're a real Christian. Do you have a love for people who aren't like you, who are in the church family? As you saw people appear on the screens earlier, was there a sort of warmth towards them? Was it great to see others this evening? A love for all God's people. Well, you're a real Christian. Do you hope for heaven? Are you looking forward to that day of no more suffering, no more sinning, seeing the Lord Jesus, being with him forever? Is that something that stirs in your heart, that you look to and long for? Paul says if those three distinctives are there, then have that assurance. You're the real deal. Secondly, look to where you've gained this from, what's underlined in blue. Are you trusting these things? Have you heard the true gospel message of who the Lord Jesus is and what he's done? Have you understood God's grace to you? If you have, then you're the real deal. You're a real Christian. And then just lastly, a secondary application. Notice Paul's attitude, verse 3, as he comes into this. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. When we think of other Christians, our first reaction should be to thank God for them, to praise that they're in existence. There's other people who are trusting in Jesus and following him and bringing glory to him. Paul is really thankful for the church in Colossae, even though he's never met them, never been there. He thanks God, his Father, when he prays for them. Well, should we pray now? And then we're going to hear a song just to help us reflect on what we've heard. But let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for giving us the scriptures. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who inspired the writing of these scriptures. Thank you that they've been kept for us, that we can read them so freely today. And Father, we thank you for the assurances that the church in Colossae received from Paul, that they were authentic as Christians, they were the real deal. We thank you that they had become Christians, that they had that faith, love and hope. Father, we pray that if any of us are wavering at the moment, wondering, Father, may we gain that assurance of seeing these things in our lives, perhaps as we share with each other later, of spotting them in each other. May we know that assurance of, yeah, we have truly understood your grace. Father, we thank you for the good news of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the hope that we have because of him. Father, help us to keep trusting in him and help us to keep loving each other. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.